Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai. I'm Kai.
I'm Kush. What's good, y'all?
Oh, it's another fucking microdose. Welcome back. We got some topics here for you in through the new year. We got some Golden Globes things. We've got some new TV shows premiering. But Kush, the first thing I wanted to start off with, I wanted to ask you, I've got a couple. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I have a few new year resolutions / intentions that I wanted to put out there for myself, specifically as it relates to how I consume media, which we're all
Why don't you give us one or two as an example?
All right. So one of the first ones was definitely try some new things, because I feel like I've gotten into a rut of just things that I, not just movies, but TV shows, podcasts, websites, articles, what have you. I've gotten into a rut of being comfortable with, like, well, I'm on Reddit here, I have my news feed, and then I do XYZ. And you get into a little bubble, and then life goes on, and you don't really expand what's going on out there.
Gotcha. So
I definitely intend, I resolve to add at least a couple of new things every month. Just try a new pod, ask, hit up folks. I hit up folks for podcast suggestions all the time, but then I shoot them down, like, ahead of time in my head. Which is not, that's not great. That's not great. That actually leads to my second one, which is be a little more positive with my, in my mental game for not just reviews, but just that what I want to bring to the table here. Cause it's, you know what? It is much easier to shit on something than to praise something in almost every respect.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, one of the things I vow to do, not to jump on this, but next year when we do this year-end review stuff, like, I'm not going to be worrying about worst reviewed this and that and the other. Like, too negative. It's harder to, like you said, praise something, and I want to do more of that.
Yeah, and again, I think that'll interface with a side of myself, even for stuff that isn't, like, stellar, but just to find, like, did you take anything out of this? What spoke to you? What is it about it? I think that's more constructive, and that's kind of more of the person that I want to be. So I agree. That's like it too simple in the other direction.
And that's been kind of a philosophy I've had with Kush and Kai. Like, we could have done so many episodes about the shittiest movies, like the Troll 2s and
totally,
et cetera. But I always, like, we watch some bonkers shit and we discover some new gems, but the goal isn't to ever declare this movie was awful. Let's talk about how awful this was. This was about, let's look for the best in this movie. If we like this movie, let's talk more about it. Like, I'm still blown away by Westworld and Rollerball. Like, I still
Those go on my all time of, like, I, you know, just making me think about, yeah, they were making a statement on society. Like, I took something from it. Parts of it were still relevant in the, you know, in the modern era. I totally dig on that.
And then we recently did an episode on an Italian movie. Name still escapes me.
Amacord.
So not my favorite movie that we've ever discussed, but I wanted to find the good stuff that was in there. And there's some sprinkles in there that I took with us, you know, and I think you'll vouch for that.
Absolutely. You've extend yourself in that way, and I'm so appreciative that you're like, no, you're like looking for those pieces that are like, oh no, I see that in a greater media context. Even though it has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. I heard a smart person once say, it's like, sometimes involve yourself in things and media that has nothing to do with you, because you could learn a fuck ton. It's a valuable practice.
Dude.
And then the last one I had is, I do have a podcast kind of addiction, and I need to shift it to a place where I'm not just putting something on to fill time or in a reflex. I have to want to listen to it, which seems counter to the first thing I said, which is try new things, where it's like, oh, how do you want to listen to something new? The new thing can supersede that rule. But what I'm talking about is, like, I don't know. For other podcast heads out there, you people would know. You're like, well, maybe this isn't their best episode. It's just them and their sidekick riffing for 40 minutes, and then they have a phoner, and then whatever. I want to be more proactive about, like, maybe just put on some light, wordless music, lyricless music, and go for a walk. Or maybe you're doing your chores, and you just sit with your own thoughts. I think I use it to escape too much. And so for me, I'm like, no, just be a little more present. I think that would be good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so those are my three intention/resolution-y things. All right, if I may, let me jump to an exciting thing that happened over the new year. We were gifted with a few new episodes of The Orville.
Oh, shit, I keep slipping on that. How many have we missed? How many have I missed?
There's two out right now, and the next one drops, I think, Thursday or Friday. I think it's Thursday. I have to say...
Still holds up?
Market improvement over the first season. Over the first season, in terms of at least what they've shown us so far, which is like a character-based storytelling thing, which I read an interview with Seth MacFarlane where he was talking about he wants it to be sci-fi-y and he wants some goofy moments, but he understands that the currency of this show is that making all of the crew members just challenges and travails believable, if not relatable, and sort of, you know, like they make that part of it work and make it work as a space drama first. And I really respect that because the first episode was very small and character driven, and it was great. Like it was like it sitcom-y in space and not like a hilarity factor, but just they paid off all of these things. There were some funny moments. Like, it really worked for me that this show where I'm expecting like, oh no, what are they going to do? Like a Twilight sci-fi zone. Like they're going to Dark Mirror back into the thing. They don't have to. Like my enjoyment from that show comes from, they really know who those characters are. And that makes me excited because they have a super great cast of folks on that show. Nice. And then the second episode, a porn addiction nearly cripples the ship, which is hilarious. Oh my, holy cow. They just take a thing that's like, oh, that's real, and they translate it to this world. I'm like, super tops, highly recommend. So I am super pleased that they were able to keep up the acumen with the writing there, and I'm so excited to keep going with that. I recommend on Fox, Hulu, and the Fox streaming services or wherever you can find Avail. But love me some Orville.
I'm excited to hear that that's back again. Like, I was missing the Orville. So good.
It's good stuff. Another show I haven't gotten, the wife and I have been saving it because we have a little mini vacation coming up. It was gifted to us by my mom. Oh, and nice. We're going to binge a few episodes in the evening. But you know how you have like hour shows? It's like, Travelers on Netflix with Eric McCormick, eco-terrorists from the future come back to try and save us stupid people from ruining the world. I'm excited for that. The promos look great. I've tried not to watch promos. I've been not forced, but this is, they pop up and they show you things. You're like, stop. I don't want to see it. It's one of those moments where it's like, no, I just want to see it. I'm going to watch it. Just don't show me. I'm excited for that. Those are my two in the streaming world. Orville, great, and I'm excited to go back to Travelers. Any shows in the new year you've seen new premieres of?
No, I jumped on the hype train and I checked out some Bandersnatch, and I don't know why I get a brogue every time I say that now. It's Bandersnatch.
Yeah, I love it. That was great. Where'd that come from?
I don't. It's been natural the entire time. Like, let's check out some Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch. Es auf Wunsch. Hey, Kushis. Kushis has a Bandersnatch. What were your thoughts so far? What have you been watching? I haven't seen any of it. I'm curious, though.
Nothing we haven't done before with a Telltale's game. And the whole thing is it's about the old choose your own adventure books. I get bored with it about my third run through. But, like, yeah, you want to see what the alternate endings are. And you want to see, like, what happens this. Like, one time I managed to get through the whole thing and not murder everybody. And then the next time,
hey,
oops, I did murder some people. You drop some LSD, you smoke some weed, you get into a fight with your therapist.
Like you do. That happens.
Like you do. Oh, yeah. So it's cute, but it's nothing I want to... The story is super simplistic because the gimmick is so strong.
Dig. Yeah, and again, we've talked about this before where choose your own adventure in media, movies, TV, whatever it is, they've been the powers that be have been trying to make it happen for a while, be it a collective experience where everyone votes what happens, or you're in a TV thing and you choose, or it's like an interactive disc. This has been around for a while, and it totally makes sense for Netflix to attempt this, because one of their metrics is, well, how long can we keep people on the site, coming back to the site, interacting with the site? So this is, you know, this is a logical move in that sense, but pulling it off has been elusive to literally everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, they did what they did with it. There's one very beautiful ending. There's a bunch of silly endings. There's a stupid ending, but it's cool. I would check it out, but after the second or third run, don't worry about it. Just Wikipedia the rest of the endings. It's fine.
Dig. Yeah. I feel like I'd go through once and then be like, well, that was kind of a time commitment, and I just want to skim through some of the other options.
Oh, you know, so, speaking of Netflix, since we're talking about, shit. I totally just derailed.
Oh, no, what happened?
No.
Alexa lights turn off?
No, I muted that. Muted her. There's an anime on Netflix now. Netflix is calling it one of their original animes. And here's the premise. I'll find the name in a minute here. Five convicts on death row on five separate parts of the planet who've never met one another, all on the same day, decide to break out of jail and for all some reason are heading to Tokyo.
And they have to get out of the Tokyo escape room?
There's no Tokyo escape room.
There's no escape room? Wow, how original.
They literally just walk out of prison. Nothing the guards can do about it. If the guards get in the way, they're met with extreme, ultra, Fist of the North Star violence.
Mm-hmm.
Super cartoony, man. Super cartoony at some point here. That's the premise. They're all just bored with life. They don't want their New Year's resolution is to meet someone that'll beat them in combat, because it's never happened.
They should. I feel like the UFC could sign them to a very specific kind of contract.
Yeah. I want to say it's like Balak or Bull. It's not Bilal. Shit, I can't find it. It's fine. But
prison anime Netflix. We could solve this in a Google. Don't worry about it. You can find it, folks. That's fascinating. What is it with the Japanese and death matches? What the fuck is with that?
Yeah, great question. I don't know.
Because the battle royale, like you know what I mean? Like that was a novel, and then it was a movie over there, and then. Yeah, I mean, that idea has been around, but including the children or at the different levels of society. Reminds me of Death Race. That was a thing.
Oh, Death Race. Wait. Death Race 2000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they were in a similar... Why wouldn't you just... I mean, I'm sure they address this in the movie, which I never saw, but wouldn't they just... They have a vehicle just sort of veer off course and then escape? That wasn't a thing?
I don't think so.
They must have had a bomb in their brain or something, which is usually the way you go. Well, good stuff. Yeah, they're really investing in anime. I guess the numbers prove out that people are like, we like anime, do the anime. And so they're like, sure, yeah, fine, why not? Which I appreciate. Extend the art form. If I may, under my new things category is I was like, there was a thing that I just perused across on just the podcast. What is it? Store on iTunes? It's the podcast app in Apple. It's very specific, but anybody could find it in their where podcasts are vended. But Marvel teamed up with Stitcher, and they did a Wolverine project called The Long Night, and it is a scripted mystery podcast series set in Alaska. Like with spoken, you know, they have like actors, Scott Adsit and Bob Balaban, and I forget who's playing Wolverine. He's a great actor, but they do a full CSI noir-y thing where there's weird goings on, because again, Wolverine has escaped to Alaska to hide.
As he does.
And I have to say, like, it's great to just experience a Wolverine story from this angle I haven't been party to before. Like, there could be some obscure comics that go down this route, but just being able to like rake the yard or do some dishes and listen to detectives trying to figure out, like, that don't know that mutants exist, that this is going on is fantastic. And they go over the top in a radio play style, and it's speaking to me, Kush.
Who's Scott Adsit play?
He plays the sheriff of the town, who's cagey, but also wants things to go right.
Scott Adsit, he was the guy behind Moral Oral on Adult Swim. He also played the bald guy on 30 Rock.
The producer in 30 Rock. Yeah, that's how I had to face ID him, because I was like, who is that? Oh, yeah, that guy. It is at its corners because it's a radio play. I was moved to laughter, like out loud at some points, because they have to move the story along, but they embrace the genre and it's different and weird. It was released the first episode released September 11th, 2018. But it's free on iTunes now. And guys, they put such care into the audio production. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan fetishist of like precision audio production. They do such a great job of creating little audioscapes and scenes and then transitioning to this and that. Like, it's very well done and I'm super enjoying it. And I think I listened to like the first one saying like, maybe I'll check it out. But today I think I'm up through episode 5. I'm like halfway through episode 5. And they're about half an hour apiece. Super fun, like a different way to experience X-Men, and I will shortly be writing X-Men the Musical for everybody, so we'll get through that. Oh, and the Fast and Furious Musical. We have both of those on the docket. We will have to get through.
Yeah, we still have to work on the Fast and Furious Musical. You were hyping me up about Wolverine on the chats earlier today, so I've already subscribed to it, and I downloaded all the 10.
Excellent.
So just waiting to burn through those.
And they've got so many great, like, there's the sheriff who is, like, aloof and you don't know what side he's playing. And then there's an industrialist family that's kind of controlling the town. And then there's a cult. Like, they're just playing everything happening here. It's great. There's murders. You're like, yeah, pour it on. And I'm excited because they went full in. I highly recommend. Nice. Paki. Jeez, that's my
AI. That was the anime I was talking about. I'm sorry.
Oh, Paki. There you go. All right. Everybody check that out or not if you're into animes. The last thing, that was my podcast recommendation for the week, and that was your anime recommendation for the week. The last thing, a quick parent corner for myself. The kid and I watched Ready Player One, and we were both I think the kid was willing to go along with, like, she's always willing to go along with the world more than I am. Cause I'm like, how does this how does this fucking company work? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
No, just a quick detail. What's the age gap between you and the kid? Kid Kai?
She is 8 and I am 36.
Okay. So 28 year gap.
Indeed.
Okay. Please continue.
And so she's in, but she did say it was like, yeah, it was too long, which we both immediately agreed with.
I agree.
But the thing that we both were like, oh, that was cool, was all the toys and the technology that was in there. Again, I'm like, cool. This is like, I still think about like how the characters would reach up and swipe to the side and go through their inventory and then pull out an item that became real. Like that sort of ritual, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like that, I mean, that's a great, I hope that happens in a VR world. It probably already is, but one of the things that we encountered in there was during the second key challenge, if anyone has seen the movie, they go into part of The Shining. There's no zombie part, as they admit, but they go into The Shining, and the kid who is into, again, 8, into horror movies is like, hey, can we watch The Shining? So I'm like, sure. We jump in today. She's loving it. We only watched about the first 30 minutes of it, but she is game. And I was afraid because everybody, if you haven't been following along, movies in the 70s were paced differently. It was just a thing, okay? But I take pride in that she recognizes the storytelling or the layers that are going on to be able to hold focus here. And yeah, it really holds up, everybody. I was just watching it again for the first time in, I don't know, 10 years. I'm loving it again.
I've seen The Shining when I was just about her age, but I couldn't process what was happening. I was bored most of the time. Again, that's roughly when the movie came out, I want to say. But I don't think I ever got until many years later that it was an actual horror movie. I was just like, what the hell is happening here? Because, again, it is that slow, methodic pacing. And
yeah, know,
I wouldn't be against doing an actual Cushion Kai on that specific movie.
I wouldn't be either. I'd be interested. Shining 1980 as well, which is
1980.
Okay. 2 years before I was born.
I was 2 at the time when that came out. So
you saw this when you were 2?
No.
Explain.
Of course not. Of course not. But I was definitely around 8. It'd be on KBHK all the time. It'd be on ABC.
It was. I attest. Yeah. It was on KBHK. They love this fucking movie.
Yeah.
That and Tarzan and Working Girl.
Yeah, I remember Tarzan.
Oh, that was there. All right, well, that clears out my sections for the microdose. Anything else you want to plug?
No, that's all. Check us out. We'll be listening to So I Married an Axe Murderer this Sunday.
Hell yeah!
And then we have another microdose dropping Friday afternoon, maybe Saturday morning as well. And then Kush Hayes next week. We'll be talking about Glass next Wednesday.
Fantastic. And again, obligatory, go check out Kush's reviews on KushandKai.com. Just elucidating, I always want to learn how the Barry scale has changed or fluctuated.
Barry's scale hasn't changed yet. It's
in the new year, it was restructured, and now it's titanium strawberries. And I am excited to see the scale of change. Anyway,
the only scale change that's happened on the blueberries is my first review. I gave something an extra half star, and I've only been keeping it to solid since. So,
there you go. I actually appreciate the solid since. That's a principled turn for that. Some of the split ones. Although I will accept, there are some movies where you're like, this is a 3.5.
Yes.
Yeah, that happens. So don't pigeonhole yourself, but. Thank you again, Kush. Rock the fuck on.
Rock on, Kai.
The Bosley.net. Sit, Bosley, sit.
No.